Welcome to Crosspoint. 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 An interactive program featuring ministers and leaders of the Christian community addressing the issues that are challenging the church today. Here's your host, Mark Taylor.
What do you do with the many temptations we face? How can a person break the grasp of sin? Well, let's find out. Welcome to Crosspoint. I'm Mark Taylor, your host. And my guest is Jim Dolman. He's a pastor. He founded ChurchUnited.com and is deeply involved in helping others break free of sin's temptations. Jim Dolman, thanks for joining us today here on Crosspoint. Now, we're talking about something that is really a tough deal. Breaking sin's grasp. Now, you talk about how your temptation doesn't define you, but in the world we live in, and we've always lived in, but I think it might be getting a little tougher on us. There's so many more things to tempt us out there. How do you go about even get started on breaking sin's grasp? I know that we've heard a lot of sermons and stuff on this, but it's a constant battle, is it not?
It is. And you know what, Mark? I've been a Christian almost my entire life. I'm 50 years old. There's one thing that hasn't changed. I'm still tempted, and I don't always choose righteousness. You know, I fail, and it's a reality. And I went to seminary thinking I could get fixed, you know, get closer to God, and I'm not going to have temptations, and, you know, it'll make life easy. And what I've noticed is as you do draw closer to God and do it, walk as he's walked, you're still tempted. The enemy wants to take you out, and, you know, my hope and prayer is that I choose righteousness, I choose life, I choose my wife and kids and family and God, and not my sinful desires.
Well, don't you think, Jim, too, once we, every time we overcome a temptation and we keep moving a little bit more past that, that it does strengthen us for the next one?
Absolutely. And you learn ways, and this is why I wrote the book, Breaking Sin's Grasp. The book shares the ways I've learned in my journey as a Christian and being in a men's ministry and kind of being a pastor to pastors, is there are practical things we can do to strengthen ourselves so we choose righteousness, so we don't give in to temptation and walk with God, so to speak, and do what is right. And, you know, in this culture, Mark, as you mentioned at the beginning, it is really difficult because, you know, if it's on your phone, if it's on your computer, if it's what you're seeing or somebody else's device, you can't unsee things that, you know, come across your eyes. And breaking sin's grasp will give men and women practical ways on how do you break this stuff. The book starts off with this in the introduction. And I've always, this is, you know, as a pastor and someone who studies God's word, you know, what a stupid question Jesus asked the man at Bethesda. Now, it's in John 5, and a man's been crippled, I think, what, 38 years, his entire life, and Jesus asked the most rhetorical question, do you want to be healed? And I, for so many years, wrestled with that. Of course, he's paralyzed. He can't walk. Why would God ask such a rhetorical, dumb question? And in my years in ministry, I've realized, and as I've grown in my faith, people don't want to be healed, Mark. They want to be stuck in their sin. They want to be stuck in the muck and mire. They don't want to be set free. And I thought it was such an eye-opener. I use it in the introduction of my book because I'm telling men and women, if you don't want to be set free, get rid of the book. You know, if you don't want to be healed, don't waste your time. This isn't the book for you, because breaking sin's grasp is going to help you not only break sin's grasp, but set you free and help you walk in the identity God has created you to be as a man or a woman.
You say in the introduction of the book, page 3, you said, in my own power, most assuredly, I will still be pursuing whatever felt natural to me, and I would know nothing of the peace and the joy that come from walking in step with Jesus. But because of Christ's work in me, I'm able to give God credit. More credit is due. I'm not claiming to be someone who is good at being a Christian. I'm saying that my God is good at being my God. Boy, that is really good because, yeah, we in our flesh, we can't do it. But because God, and we turn that flesh over to God, he can do it for us.
You know, he can. And I remember, so Mark, I came out of homosexuality over 22 years ago. this year, and I'm married with three kids. And I realized something. I always thought I was so different from the other men in church and other men in society. And when I came back to the Lord, I realized something. I'm no different than other men in the church, just that these other men have different sin temptations than I do. And that was a huge eye-opener to me, because I always felt so just, you know, I'm same-sex attracted. But what that did was the Lord showed me I'm no different than these other men. We all battle. We all struggle. And yet what I saw is that the process I went through to gain freedom, I was like, wait a minute, this will work for any other man. And I started taking men through steps to freedom in Christ. I started showing men or helping them find their spiritual gifts, you know, taking off the old, putting on the new, and dealing with the root issues of their sin issue and helping them realize their temptation isn't their identity. It's the same process I went through, but just my sin was different than most other men. And what I started realizing, these men were getting set free. Yes, when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're forgiven immediately, sins all past, present, and future. You know, when that honeymoon's over and the battles or the temptations come back, it's kind of like, okay, this is when the rubber meets the road. What do I do next? How do I break this porn habit? How do I keep having sex with my girlfriend? How do I, you know, stop gossiping or stop lying or, you know, doing inappropriate things while gaming or whatever your sin issue is? Breaking sin's grasp will walk you through. And it's kind of what I like to look at it, Mark, is step one. You know, it's okay, here are practical ways, but what I really want to encourage men and women to do is to sign up and go do an online retreat or in-person retreat to actually do the steps to freedom in Christ. Go through the timeline exercise, kind of do spanning over the years of your life. Do the spiritual gifts inventory. So it's kind of the doing the hard work, which I like to equate what Paul said. I think it was in Romans, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Now, you got a quote I have to look at on the back of the book from someone that had read your book. They was talking about how lust had a control on their life. I would assume that that is maybe one of the major things with men. I know you talked about being in a men's ministry. But it's, I guess, the eye gate, the lust of the flesh, whatever. Is that what you seem to deal with more when these men and with just sin and its grip that it gets on us? Is that a big part of that?
Probably most men, probably 85%, 90%. Is dealing with lust / pornography. Either, you know, a combination of both of them or at least lust. And I know personally that's still my biggest temptation. And what I have to battle is my own lust. You know, and I mentioned this in the book, and I think this is really true. Mark, sin is fun. I mean, there's a lure to it. I mean, I would be lying, and I don't think people talk about it at that level, but there's a lure to it that it's enjoyable. It's meeting a brokenness in our life, and there's truth in it, but at the same time, it's horribly destructive and very painful to deal with. And that's kind of what, with breaking sin's grasp, like my buddy Rich, as he says, as we quoted him, it helped him break his lust issue. And, you know, again, like I said, the steps I've gone through with this and the practical ways to give people, how do you break that cycle? How do you change the environment? How do you take off the old and put on the new? And practical ways that are all biblically based to help set men and women free.
You mentioned here, page 12 of the book, everyone has a story in the section, Realize Why You Aren't Free. You do talk about other people's stories in here. You don't actually tell exactly who the person is, but you do, you know, talk about these situations that people have went through, because I'm sure they mirror what some of the other people that are reading the book or in one of the group settings that you're going through when you're doing these conferences and stuff have already went through. I believe you put in these stories in here like that help people realize, hey, I'm not the only one that's been going through this.
Absolutely. When I wrote my first book, Not a Mistake, Parents Hope for Their Gay Son, that was more kind of my journey of, dealing with same-sex attraction, coming out of homosexuality. This book doesn't deal with that topic. This deals books with kind of more everybody else's, what they're going through. I tell a story of a man who was dealing with pornography, another young man who premarital sex before he got married, and he was a Christian and still, you know, living that way. I tell a story of a former, from a stripper to a saint. I tell a story of a former drug addict, alcohol and drugs, and, you know, his first look at pornography. And so I share actually my first experience of looking at pornography around the age of 10. So I tell these different stories of these men, of how they've, what the sin issues, how kind of they've begun, and going through breaking sin's grasp, going through the same, that same process, and sharing your stories of being set free. Now, Mark, I think this is a really important point. I want to make it really clear. I tell one or two stories of failure. Do you know why? Not everybody succeeds. Not everybody is committed to saying, I want to walk in freedom. I want to do this. And I want people to know this is real. This is, these are real stories, real men, real women. Now, the majority of them, I changed their names and some of the details so people couldn't figure out who they are. But in over my 20 years of ministry and helping set men free, those are the stories I share. You know, there's another one. I tell the story of a special forces Egyptian in the Egyptian army, and how I helped get him set free from terror nightmares. You know, he was an assassin. And, you know, coming to Christ and how that changed his life, but yet, how do I deal with these nightmares that I'm having? And anyway, I kind of share his story and how he got set free. So, yeah, it's, my heart was to share the stories of men and women, to connect with believers and be like, that's my story. But I also put a disclaimer and say, look, if your specific sin or sins aren't mentioned in the book, you know, don't worry about that. It's not your identity. The process is all the same. We have to know Jesus first, because he's going to set us free. We have to have him in our, as not only as our Savior, but Lord of our lives. But once you've done that and you're kind of back into the old grind, so to speak, I wanted to, you know, share these different stories so people could resonate. And if your sin isn't mentioned, that it, the process is all the same.
Yeah. Now, you also talk about here about reaching out to a church in the book, page 31 I'm looking at. You say, breaking sin's grasp cannot be done on your own. It requires a community as God designed the church body. From a big picture perspective, everyone who enters into a relationship with God is connected to the universal church, the body of Christ, and the family of God. But now, how do you do this if they don't actually have a ministry there at the church? You just need to go find a church that does and start looking around that has a ministry to men that would talk about this. In other words, I've been involved in the men's groups and different things, but there are some things men really have trouble talking about, and this would be one of them. If they've got a lust problem or if they've been doing something they shouldn't have been, they're not going to want to share that with just anybody.
Absolutely. And, you know, or even if they have a pornography, which is a huge issue with,
yes,
I know, with most young men, it's embarrassing to admit. But and I talk about this in the book. And it, you know, if you're in a church and there's not a men's group, in the video series, the book comes with a video series and study guide. And in the video series, I kind of comment and say, for men, it's almost more important for you to be in a men's group than in a church. Now, hear me. I'm not saying don't go to church. That's not what I'm saying. But what you just articulated, Mark, is men to get set free, Scripture tells us we need to confess our sins to one another so that we may be healed. If you're not verbally confessing your sin to another man or a couple other men, you're not going to be set free. You're not going to be healed. And it's so important for men to have an environment to do that. And what I've learned in leadership, if the leader of the group or facilitator isn't transparent and vulnerable with their own sin issues, no one's going to take it to that deeper level. And I had a kind of awakening as I would share with people in men's groups, hey, look, I came out of homosexuality and this is my background. And it almost released men to be like, oh, his sin's worse than mine. I can share, you know, I looked at porn last night or whatever their issue is, because at least I'm not gay, for crying out loud, you know? And so, but what I learned was, when I am real and transparent, other men open up and they feel safe that they can share, and it's not going to leave the group or the couple of men. It stays between them and God. And what I have found, when men have that ability, it sets them free, and they're better dads, they're better husbands, they're better sons, and just better men. And they're choosing life when we do that. And so if you're not in a men's group, the book talks about like this too. Find a coach. Find a counselor, not a counselor, a pastor, another Christian man. You could be like, hey, can we grab breakfast? Can we hang out or go shooting or whatever it is you do? But be intentional, not just talking about sports and the weather, but be intentional about, what's God doing in your life? What are your spiritual struggles? How are you doing with temptation? Ask those tough questions.
Well, folks, very good book we're talking about today, Breaking Sin's Grasp. Stay with us. We'll be back with more right after this.
Are you a Christian who likes to read? If not, there's a whole world of Christian publishing out there that you're missing out on. I invite you to check out the Author's Corner podcast, where I talk to the latest Christian authors each week about their new book releases and what's coming next. So if you're ready to jumpstart your spiritual growth with the newest books and the authors who write them, check out the Author's Corner podcast with me, Roberta Foster.
This is Mark Taylor. If you miss a broadcast of Crosspoint, you can always go to our website at www.kneo.org and click on the programs page. There you can access the current Crosspoint program, as well as the last four programs that have been aired. Never miss another Crosspoint program again. Go to www.kneo.org today. Welcome back to Crosspoint. I'm Mark Taylor. Talking today with Jim Dolman. We're talking about breaking sin's grasp. Now, this is about the temptation that doesn't define you, you say here in your book, Jim. But tell people how they can find out more about your ministry, more about this book, and what you do in a ministry.
So, Breaking Sin's Grasp, you can go to breakingsin'sgrasp.com. You can sign up to do an online course if you're with other men, or and we'll even open up to women if women are interested in this. We'll do an online course that will take you through doing the tough work that the book talks about, and walking you through how to do that. And here's the beauty of it. Once you've gone through it, I want to empower men and women. Take this back to the men you know and take them through it. Because that's how I learned. Someone took me through the stuff. Now I've done it to scores, if not hundreds of men over my 20 years of ministry. And I want to be able to release men and women to help set their friends, their accountability partners, and people in their church free. This is something I want to give away. This is, you know, it's biblical, it's truthful, and I want to see people set free.
In the part of the book entitled Ride with Other Men on page 47, you said, when we ride through life alone without any close relationships, we become like a stray lamb among a pack of wolves. Then you go down here in a couple of paragraphs down, you say, for guys like me who have battled sexual sins, the need for community is more urgent and intense. Sadly, many in the church community struggle to accept individuals who don't fit inside their typical box. Maybe you didn't follow my particular path of living a sexual lifestyle, but your choice to follow Christ will certainly come with some sort of cost. Okay, tell us about this. Number one, yeah, it is hard to try to get through the things you're facing by yourself. Two, it is difficult to find a place where you feel comfortable and safe in being able to share this kind of stuff. And then three, of course, you know, yeah, just because this was sent to you and it wasn't to me or vice versa, it doesn't mean that we don't all have issues. And it also, though, the main issue is it all works for us at the end. If we'll walk with Christ, yeah, he'll get us through all of this, no matter what it is.
Absolutely. So kind of in the beginning, you know, needing a community. And here's the sad reality, I think, Mark, of the church. And this just breaks my heart. So the Men in the Video series are part of my men's group, and their stories aren't in the book. So if you get the video series, Breaking Sin's Grasp, it's fresh. They're new stories, different issues. But you know what all those men told me? And this really broke my heart. One that was in his 20s. The other couple were in their early 30s. We meet on a regular basis. And they said, we've never been a part of a church where we've been able to share stuff like we do with you, Jim. We've never had a community like this. And I'm looking at them going, you've grown up in Christian families. And, well, actually, not all of them grew up in Christian families, but they had never experienced being real with another dude sitting around a table, a fire, wherever you were, or, you know, golfing, whatever it is, and had these deep, tough, you know, confession of sin, theological discussions, you know, how's your walk with God? They've never had anything like that. And that breaks my heart, because we're to be the church. We're to be the not only the salt and light, but the place you can go that's safe and you can confess and be healed and set other people free. But it kind of showed me the importance of, I think, what I think this book will help do and help equip people if they sign up for an online course or come to a retreat, so they themselves can be set free and lead by example, as we did there. So that kind of deals with the, you know, a lot of men not feeling these certain communities, that they don't feel accepted or don't fit into that box. So, you talked about two, or go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking, what do you do in a case where men, or I guess women, if he was on the women's side of it, because it happens both ways, so they share with you about being unfaithful. They're married, now they've committed adultery. But how do you get that outside of the group? How do you work through that situation? I've had it happen to me. I've had people sit down and talk to me and tell me something they've done. Now they expect me to hold that confidence because they're trying to talk to somebody and walk it out. I'm, you know, the next day or two in a restaurant with the family, and I'm looking at his wife, and I know what he's done, and I'm, man, this puts us in a tough position.
It does. It does. And Mark, sin is incredibly messy.
Yeah, no doubt.
And can have absolutely devastating consequences. And if a man shares that, I think first and foremost, the most important thing or the thing you could do is say, you know, I know I'm not going to this, you know, come and say, hey, buddy, look, let's pray. Let me pray and ask that God would thank you for confessing. Let's pray as you confess, and let's pray the blood of Jesus over your heart and your mind. And first, you know, acknowledge him. Don't shun him, but pray a prayer of, you know, of forgiveness and confession and repentance. And if he has a repentant heart, I would recommend, if you're not equipped to how to kind of like what maybe you might be, Mark, to walk with someone like that, is reach out to a pastor, another, let's say, mature Christian, experienced Christian, to invite into the conversation. Ask the gentleman to share, hey, is there a pastor or somebody you feel you could share this to? Let's walk through this together. And I just say bring in another person because, like I said, it can be messy and some people might not feel equipped how to respond to that. But then reach out for that counsel. And, yes, what he did to his wife and or children is devastating. But, again, I also try to look at the heart. If this man's truly repentant, I mean, King David, a man after God's own heart, I mean, we read about it in Scripture, did the exact same thing. He not only committed adultery, he murdered the husband so he could take his wife, you know. So it's not like it's an uncommon sin. It's one of the most, you know, famous men in Scripture did the same thing. But again, it's coming alongside that brother, walking with him, and then developing a plan how to share with the spouse or if that's necessary, and, you know, walk through the steps of what needs to be done to heal, mend the relationship, and get help.
Now, you have brought something in here that I've never heard of before. I'm sure it's out there. I just never had heard of it. So it's hard for some people to find somebody they can talk to and trust. You know, yep. there could be just somebody right now randomly listening to this, not even church person, just driving down the road, happened to tune in, God set it up, and they're thinking, this is exactly me. I need to talk to somebody. I wouldn't even have a clue of where to start. You mentioned that you can go online and do this stuff. I don't know if you're talking about video or just studies online or whatever. I can see where something like this could be very helpful to somebody to get started, at least, to reach out and work on it. So tell us a little bit about that part of doing this stuff online.
Well, so if you don't have somebody and you need somebody to talk to, you know, you can go at breakingsinsgrasp.com and send me a message. Feel free to do that. And you'll hear from me or my assistant. We'll get back to you. We'll set up an appointment. We'll chat. But kind of what we're doing with the online course, it's 7 sessions. And what you'll do is you'll meet other men or women. It just, obviously, we'll pair men with men and women with women. And you'll have an opportunity to go through this with other people. And that might even feel better because you don't know it. You're not going to know any of these people. I don't know. Maybe God would arrange it that you would. But highly unlikely, you would be in a group of about 4 to 5 men. And it would be myself or one of our coaches. And a couple of the coaches, if you get the video series, you'll see their faces there, and they're also part of our coaching team. But we'll go through with you online like every other week, and kind of how this is planned is we'll pair you up with another man to go through the material on your own time. So in between courses, you and another man will go through the steps to freedom in Christ, and we'll walk you through how to do that, what that looks like. And then the spiritual gifts inventory, you'll do that together and kind of share. And then when we come back together in one of our sessions, we'll review what you went through, how to go, you know, do we need to customize or change anything for you? And it will be an incredible starting point for you to begin to role model what I believe is healthy masculinity, which is healthy Christianity for men and women.
So does this audio or video, I mean, is this like in a block of faces or a FaceTime? How does that work? Is it just you don't see actually the other person?
So the video series is, you can purchase the video series, and there's 9 videos. There's an introduction, conclusion, and then the content in the 7, it goes over the 7 chapters of the book. So that you can watch individually. I actually recommend watching that together as a group or in a men's group, you know, in a setting like that, or you can watch it by yourself. But it's kind of helps you prime the pump for what we're going to be discussing and doing in each chapter. But on the online course, it would be a like if everyone's familiar with Zoom, a video conference call where we're all on the same conference call and you can see everybody kind of all at once. And we'll do an introduction. We'll kind of share a little bit about yourselves, who you are, you know, and then we'll go through and kind of build this online community, like an accountability men's group, but it's a serious group because we're gonna, you know, do the work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We're gonna do the tough work of getting you set free from your sin issues. And what I mean by set free is it doesn't mean you're not going to be tempted anymore, but you'll realize that's not your identity, and you'll start being victorious instead of losing the battles. You'll be a warrior that's winning your battles.
Yeah, kind of gets us out of that mode. Well, this is just the way I am. This is the way it is, and it's never going to change attitude that I'm going to keep going, and it is going to change, and I'm going to get above it.
Exactly, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so now give us those addresses, the places that people can go, the websites to get the information, to get this kind of stuff rolling, find out more about this book and the other work you do in ministry.
Yeah, so it's breakingsinsgrasp.com. So if you want to get one of the first copies, you can go to breakingsinsgrasp.com. You can sign up for an online course. You can get the study guide, the video series. So that's specifically regarding this book. Now, Mark, my ministry is Church United, which is churchunited.com. And at Church United, I founded the nonprofit back in 2016, and I help pastors engage in government. We help them use their influence outside the walls of the church. We help them speak truth to power by taking them on awakening tours to the nation's capital or their state capital in their respective state. So that's kind of my full-time job. My writing is really just what God's put on my heart to help really set men free in the church. Because what I have learned is as I've been set free, I've been empowered to, you know, just be kingdom-minded and I just live my life differently. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm a better man. And I thought, you know what? I want to help set men free because I really think the church isn't living up to its full potential. And I think what holds us back is our sin, really. Yeah. And when we get turn that over to the Lord and we walk in freedom, we're empowered to do greater things than that we could ever think or imagine.
Well, folks, stay with us. More of this interesting conversation right after this.
Never miss your favorite show again. For more than 30 years, KNEO has been bringing you great Bible teachers on a local and national level. And now, we've made it easier than ever to hear from these great men and women of God. KNEO's entire lineup is now available to listen anytime, anywhere, through our website. Go to kneo.org/podcast to see all the options. You can search for programs alphabetically, or you can select individual categories like culture, kids, leadership, or music. We even have a category just for locally produced programs, so you can hear from pastors and spiritual leaders located right here in the four-state area. And all these resources are absolutely free. KNEO's mission is to get God's Word in front of you, and this is one of the ways we do it. Give it a try today. Go to kneo.org and click on the podcast tab to get started.
On purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose.
To get God's truths into their lives.
Share God's love with people who need encouragement.
You get the truth of God out there and it resounds and it resonates.
91.7 The Word.
It does amazing things in people's lives.
Welcome back, folks. We're Crosspoint today talking with Jim Dolman, Breaking Sin's Grip. Very challenging discussion, a very timely discussion, and one that we need to have going on in our churches. And I appreciate you talking about where you've been, Jim, and what you've been through and how you've developed what you struggle with into a ministry to help others get out of the same, maybe not the same lifestyle, but the same grip of sin that was out there. And in your book, you talk about reorganization or reorganize your schedule. You talk about key disciplines in there. And you talked about, you know, we tend to excuse the sin of busyness and it keeps us from addressing our issues. And you said a disciplined life has tremendous value. So we've got to set up a disciplined life. Why?
You know what? The discipline is so important. And I think of the fruits of the Spirit. I'll use the word self-control, because that means we're in control of our lives. We're making choices. God doesn't force us to do anything. Deuteronomy talks about choosing life versus choosing, you know, death and destruction. Choose life, prosperity, and blessing. So we're in control of that. And God is, again, it's part of our freedom of choice, freedom of will. We can choose God or not God. And I want to help men do that, to live disciplinedly, to live a life that's self-control. And what I got to tell you, I'm really big about being transparent in what I deal with and battle and struggle with. And in this book, I've been overweight my entire life. I'm an Ironman. You know, I did an Ironman distance triathlon. I've always been in great shape, but always kind of pudgy, always a little, always overweight, more or less. And, you know, America, the church, I'll just say the church for that matter, is probably the fattest people on the face of the planet. And I had a doctor tell me, look, you know, in essence, you're going to die. You have to change what you eat, your lifestyle. And let me tell you something, Mark. I love sugar. I love eating. I love carbs. I love donuts, breads, cookies, you name it. I love to eat it all. But I had to take self-control. I had to become a disciplined wife to lose weight, keep it off, and do that. And, you know, that's been a current battle. I'll call it my addiction to sugar. And, you know, I start realizing sugar's in everything. It's in bacon. It's in potato chips. It's in everything because it's addictive. And we eat so much food. And I thought, you know, here's another sin I don't hear preached about is obesity. We're probably the fattest church in the world, in America. And, you know, that's not taking care of our bodies. And I share that struggle and then keeping the weight off. And, you know, as I share, join me praying for me that I can continue to walk in living a healthy life and keeping it off. But again, that's part of that discipline. That's part of that self-control of not overeating, of eating real healthy foods and not things that are processed. Anyway, that's kind of a something that I've been battling and struggling with that I mentioned in the book, because I really believe it's important to be real. It's important to be transparent. And kind of on that real thing, I put a little, I don't know if you see on the back cover, a little, it's called Real Text, and I came up with this idea. It says, original content, no artificial intelligence, meaning anything that I write or publish is real. These are real people, real stories. And I'm realizing in the publishing world, and my publisher said, I was shocked, that most, almost all authors use AI 60% of what they're writing, which means a computer is writing the stories and books, not real people. So I created this little indicia I'm putting on all my books that my books are 100% real. They're real stories, are written by myself. I'm a real person, and it's not artificial intelligence writing and telling stories. And I think that just goes back to we become in an age where we don't know what's truthful. We don't know what's real. We don't know whether it's fake or an illusion. And so all my products, I'm putting the stamp of real text, no artificial intelligence used.
Now, you've got on chapter 5, replace bad habits. You talk about on page 22, temptation doesn't define you, and that's one of the themes of the book, of course. And then you talk about your temptation is not who you are. It's critically important that you understand sin's habits, that they are not your identity. I cannot emphasize enough, you say, how that separating your temptation from who you are in Christ will aid in breaking your sinful choices. So tell us how we do that again, because, you know, when it kind of demeans yourself, you know, because you can't get above it. You're here, you're a Christian, you're trying to live the life. And, you know, I've said before, you know, if I'll keep working with a person if they're trying to really, truly clean their life up, even if they keep stepping in it sometimes.
Well, again, and that's a heart issue. And I tell people, too, you know, you got to, it's where you are at your heart. If your heart is really repentant and you keep messing up, that's a great place to be. And hear me say that, because you're desiring God, the Holy Spirit, your conscience is telling you, you have conviction instead of like, well, I don't care kind of an attitude. So replacing bad habits, that is really, you know, that's the secular way to say taking off the old self and putting on the new self, which it'll say is the biblical self. And what does that look like? And I give, you know, tangible examples of that. And let me use another personal story, you know, and I think this is so important, you know, about making a declaration. You don't say, and I used to smoke cigarettes. You know, you don't say, I want to quit smoking, or I should quit smoking. And you don't even realize in your vernacular, in your vocabulary, you're using words that maybe, I should, I know I need to. No, cut all that garbage out. I have to stop smoking. I'm going to stop smoking, period. Not I will or I'm going to, I'm stopping smoking, period. And you've got to make these statements. It's almost like you're retraining your brain to speak truth and then follow through with that. And again, it's habits. You know, if you have got a problem of swinging by a strip club, let's say on the way home from work, you drive by it and you pull in, no one's going to know you're on a road trip or whatever. And well, no one's going to know if I pull in and, you know, there's no cameras here and I'll just, you know, leave my phone in the hotel or whatever and go to this place. You know what I would say then? Okay. Then if you're having issues when you're traveling, bring an accountability partner with you, confess that, let them know, and, or go a different route. And it might take you longer. If you come home from work every day and you pass by a place that's a temptation, take the extra 10 minutes and drive a different route. And what you're doing is you're creating a new healthy habit, which kind of pours into the next chapter, retraining your brain.
Well, that is. Chapter 6 of your book. That's where I'm at right now. Yeah, I'm kind of at the back of that up there, but it says, while you should never intend to fall, the potential for failure always looms as a clear reality if you remain on your spiritual journey for any length of time. However, the key to freedom involves responding to failure the right way. You don't excuse or justify your sins. Instead, we confess our faults to God and others, and we move forward. Tell us about it.
So that's part of being in a group with other people, men or women, where you can confess your sins, and that helps set you free. I mean, James 5:17, you know, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You know, scripture isn't just to read, it's to live out, and it's truthful, and it sets you free. You know, and even simple things of forgiving someone. I tell the story in here of an LAPD policeman who is married, you know, three kids, beautiful family, is having an issue with porn. Well, going through Steps to Freedom in Christ, we realized that he was molested by a man, a neighbor, when he was a little boy. And even after, 5 years of Christian counseling, he never forgave his perpetrator. He never forgave the man that sexually abused him. And when he did that, guess what? He no longer had a porn issue. It had this root issue of sin that wasn't even his fault. It should never have happened, but it did. And later in life and how it was impacting him, the fact he was able to not only confess it, but to forgive it verbally out loud with me helped break the grasp of sin in his life, and he hasn't had a porn issue since. And so that's part of, as we, you know, we're retraining our brains, we're thinking a new way, it helps us walk in righteousness and be victorious, so we don't keep going back to the sin of our past.
Last chapter of the book is entitled Rise Above. You say there on page 110, rising above sinful habits happens as we do our part and trust God to do his. God's part includes dying for our sins, offering us forgiveness, and empowering us to live above sin. Our part is to take God at his word, walk in the light that he's given us, and as we walk in harmony with the Holy Spirit, his strength empowers us to be who God wants us to be. And then you go on to point there below something Neil Anderson said, you know, that Satan's defeated, but he still rules in this world. So we still, as long as we're in this world, we're going to have to deal with these sinful temptations.
Absolutely. And you know what? If you've got a pen or somebody wants to write this down, read Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. And, you know, when you read Romans 6, Paul's saying, I'm struggling. He doesn't reveal, we don't know what Paul was tempted by or what his thorn in his flesh was. That's not revealed in Scripture. But we see this battle of, here I try to do what is right, and yet sin is right at my door. It's right there. I'm trying to do what is right. And sin, you kind of get this whole discourse in chapter 6. But as you read through 6, 7, and 8, and 8 is, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And there's this kind of this total paradigm shift of this, yes, there's a real battle. Yes, there are temptations. And even if I want to do what is right, I may not do what is right because sin is right there. You see this kind of growth or this transition of, if we're walking with the Holy Spirit, when we're living and walking that way, all that stuff seems to go to the side. And we walk in righteousness as we're walking with God. And there's really a big difference. And if we're stuck in Romans 6, that's part of this, I'll say, our spiritual journey and our working out our salvation with fear and trembling. But as we mature, let's get in past to 6, 7, and 8, where we're walking in the light, we're walking in the Spirit, and we're walking in freedom.
Now, in the last part of the book here, page 124, you kind of wrap up the book, actually telling the story about a woman. You've been talking about men, but you tell a story about a woman. Why did you do that?
So, you know, actually one of my publishers was like, you know, Jim, most women are the ones who buy books, and you don't have any, you know, female stories in here. And I talk about this in the book. Well, in my years of men's, in men's ministry, and most pastors are male, that's just been my experience. You know, I've helped women, but the bulk of my ministry career has been with men. So I included stories of wives, girlfriends, hearing how they pray and intercede for their husbands or boyfriends. And, you know, I kind of weave this feminine narrative in it. But then at the end, as you said, I share Netta's story. Netta is a beautiful woman. Her story is remarkable. She's Palestinian. She's a Christian, a former Muslim, was sexually abused, forced to have an abortion, and then became a Christian. So I tell her story because she's reached out to me, and she's like, Jim, I seem to have different issues than all the women at church do. You know, they all talk about maybe insecurity, or they don't feel secure, or they're dealing with gossip. She goes, Jim, I deal with lust. I deal with, you know, wanting to have an affair. I deal with all kinds of stuff like this, and I have no one to talk to. But you know what? You're a safe person to talk to because she knows what I've been through, and I'm very open with my battles and struggles and what have you. But I tell her story because women, you're not alone. Not every, you know, as so many just don't deal like, you know, you get this church persona, like, oh, we're just worrying about the decorations, how they look at the women's Christmas party or the tea. When there are women who are dealing with pornography, they've been sexualized, they've been abused, and they don't know how to get set free. Well, Mark, here's an opportunity that these aren't just male issues. They're women issues as well. And then I have actually her husband says a prayer and how he shares and prays for his wife and what she goes through. And I got to tell you, Netta, she's going to be writing a book soon, and she has a powerful, dynamic story.
Okay, Jim, tell us again how people can find out more before we wrap it up here, Breaking Sin's Grasp, and the ministry you have and how you can help men and women.
Yeah, absolutely. Go to BreakingSinsGrasp.com, and if you want to get on an online men's group or women's group, you can go ahead and sign up to do an online course. I think you'll find that will give you incredible victory in your walk with God. But also you can get the video series and study guide to help you to kind of, maybe if you don't feel comfortable with the topics, grease the wheels a little bit, or maybe you want to take this to your men's group and go through it. Or I'd even say take the online course, go back to your men's group, and teach all your men the steps and how to do that and help set them free like you've been set free. So you can go to BreakingSinsGrasp.com for the book, the study guide, and a video series.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for giving us this information today. I'm sure it's going to help very many people and being our guest on Crosspoint.
Well, Mark, thank you for having me on Crosspoint. God bless you. And my heart is just that men and women would be set free in the church.
Excellent interview today, folks. Really help a lot of people, I'm sure. So I would encourage people, if you probably got issues just like we all do, but if you know somebody that's really having issues, might be a good book to get and look into and a good ministry to look up. As Jim was talking and giving us Romans to read and God's word is so important. This other book in my other hand here. And we have to be sure we follow God's word, and then books like this combined with God's word can make such a difference in our life. Why? Because the Bible is the inspired words of God. They're never outdated. They've lasted the centuries. They'll last forever. The Bible contains the most important words you're ever going to read and certainly ever follow. Be sure and join us again next time as we discuss issues that are affecting the church. Have a great week and allow God to use you for his purposes so that greater things can be done. Make your life count in God's plans for eternity. I'm Mark Taylor.
Crosspoint is a program produced in Studio 101 at KNAO Radio. Not all of the views on Crosspoint reflect those of the management or staff of KNAO. You may contact the Crosspoint program at 10827 Highway 86 East, Neosho, Missouri, 64850, or by email crosspoint@kneo.org. You can hear Crosspoint four times a week, Saturday morning at 1, Saturday afternoon at 2, Saturday evening at 9, and Sunday evening at 7. You can also listen anytime online at kneo.org.
Harper's Kennel of Stella, Missouri is proud to be sponsoring this portion of broadcasting on KNEO. Owned by Judy and Danny Harper, Harper's Kennel of Stella, Missouri specializes in French Bulldogs. For more information, the phone number is 417-628-3083.